So with that, we will turn today back to James chapter 3 and read verses 13 through 18 for the last time as we wrap up this passage. So James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 as we complete talking about this passage this Sunday. It says the following: "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So we've looked at this passage a number of times, and I've broken it down for you into five sections. And we've looked at the first four sections already, and today we'll look at the very final two verses. And just as a reminder for ourselves of what the first four sections were about, remember the first section was found in verse 13, and it's the rhetorical question with which James begins this section. He says, "Who among you is wise and understanding?" By that question, he's stimulating our thought and appealing to our mind by asking that question. He's getting us thinking about wisdom. What is wisdom all about? Do we want to be wise? Do you want to be wise? And the obvious answer is yes, we all want to be wise. So that is the first section. In the second section, at the end of chapter, the end of verse 13, he is then talking about actions. Because as you look at the end of verse 13, James says, "Let him show by his good behavior." So James is telling us in that second section to examine our works, our actions. Wisdom needs to be demonstrated in behavior. It's not just a theoretical concept that someone thinks, geez, who's wise? Maybe I'm wise or somebody else is wise, but you can't see it. It's something that is evidence in the person's actions. So that was the second section. The third section was in verse 14, where James tells us to examine also the motives and attitudes of our hearts. Why? Because sometimes the actions might appear good and all right, but the true state of the heart is not all right, and it's vile. And so that's what James addresses in verse 14 in that third section. It's the examination of our own hearts. Look, he says in verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition," where? In your heart, in a place where you can see it. And he addresses and tells us to examine our hearts there. That was the third section. And in the fourth section, in verses 15 through 16, James actually takes a step back and describes to us both the characteristics and the fruit of earthly or worldly wisdom. And as you can see there, the characteristics and the fruit are bad. Characteristics are it's earthly, natural, demonic, and what is the fruit? Disorder and every evil things. In that fourth section, he tells us what false wisdom or worldly wisdom looks like. And then today, we will briefly look at the final two verses where he switches gears and describes to us what godly wisdom is all about. And so as we started talking about wisdom here, I think I titled this message as "Living Faith Producing Heavenly Wisdom." And mentioned and challenged you to challenge yourself as you walk through each and every one of these sections to look for the signs and for the things that are James is writing in those verses. In other words, as we get to, or as we were looking in the second section, and as James was talking about actions, the obvious ask that ought to be happening for me and for you is that we ought to be examining our actions to see, is there presence of godly wisdom? As you get to verse 14, we ought to be examining our own heart to see whether those desires are there. As you get to verses 15 and 16, we also ought to be looking for the presence of false or worldly wisdom in our life. And likely, when we get to the final verses, we ought to be examining our life for the presence of heavenly wisdom. So let's read 17 and 18 one more time. Verses 17 and 18 that describe true and godly wisdom. It says the following: "But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." What a wonderful two verses to end that passage, that section on wisdom. So let's dig in and briefly run through all of those characteristics that James mentions with respect to heavenly wisdom. First, I want to notice that when he starts that verse 17, note that he says, "But the wisdom from above." If you have your Bibles open, look at verse 15. How does that verse start? Verse 15 starts, "The wisdom is not that which comes from above." So he's clearly comparing two types of wisdoms, the earthly and the heavenly. And in 17, he's describing what godly or heavenly wisdom is all about. And first item, or the first thing that he points out to us, that it comes from above, from God. It is coming straight from God, heavenly wisdom. And then he goes on to describe seven characteristics. You can actually count them in your Bible. Seven characteristics of wisdom that follow in verse 17. What are those? First one he mentions is, he says that heavenly or godly wisdom, it is first of all pure. It is holy. It is clean. It's undefiled, free from all vices. Again, look at the great contrast of pure wisdom and the vile wisdom that is described in verses 14 and 15 that produces all sorts of disorder, as it says in verse 16, and evil things. No, heavenly wisdom and godly wisdom is first pure. That's what James tells us here. And who else is pure? Well, Christ himself and God is pure. If you recall what John says in the epistle of John 3:3, I believe it's 1 John 3:3, it says, "Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he," meaning God, "is pure." So pure wisdom comes from above, and it is godly wisdom. It is pure just like our Lord is himself. Second characteristic, real quick, is peaceable. What is peaceable? Well, it's opposite of being combative. It is restraining disorder. It's being ready for peace, and it's pursuing harmony. So as you reflect of your own life, of your own walk, and think of your daily walk, and think whether wisdom is present in your life, are you asking yourself, is my wisdom, is my thinking, first of all, pure? Second, is it peaceable? And there's so many passages in the scriptures, for example, 1 Peter, and we're about to read those passages, that remind us that being peaceable, being in agreement, being of one mind is such a huge characteristic, ought to be our focus as of Christians. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious," which is a synonym of peaceable. 1 Peter 3:11 says, "Seek peace and pursue it." Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all men." So clearly the second characteristic of heavenly or godly wisdom is to be peaceable. Let's look at the next ones real quick. In the interest of time, I won't spend so much time describing them. But the next one, gentle, it says. What is being gentle? Well, as I think about the parable of the unforgiving servant, the servant that owed so much to his master, and the master forgave him, and then when he went outside, he ran into his buddy, he owed him just a little bit, and he was trying to extract everything that was owed to him. It's not that. That's not being gentle. It's the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. And if you look at Philippians 4:5, when Paul is writing to Philippians, he also tells him, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." So the third characteristic is gentleness. True, heavenly, godly wisdom has gentleness to it. First one again is purity, pure, peaceable, and then gentle, third one. Fourth one, as you can see in your Bible, it says reasonable. What is reasonable? I like it how this one theologian define being reasonable. He said, open to reason, willing to listen, open to being persuaded. And that's Dr. Edmund D. Hebert. And so it's interesting that when James is describing heavenly wisdom as a fourth characteristic, he actually says that it is reasonable. In other words, a person that has heavenly wisdom, he's reasonable. He's not stuck necessarily, or she, in the beliefs or in a particular position. And you can't approach and discuss those positions with a person. Oftentimes we hear of individuals that are just stuck in their position and fuming at the mouth and just debating left and right and actually refuse even to listen to the position or the explanation or the questions of others. Well, that's not what it says here. It says that the heavenly wisdom is reasonable. It is open to reason. It is open to sitting together, hearing each other out and reasoning and coming to some sort of an understanding. Crucial for us to understand. That's the fourth characteristic. Fifth one is full of mercy and good fruits. Now that's a double characteristic. Full of mercy and good fruits. What is mercy? A compassion which leads to practical help. It's not mere emotion of pity, says another theologian. Again, a compassion which leads to practical help and not pure emotion of pity. I like that definition. And we see here, James tells us here that true heavenly wisdom is full of mercy, that is leading us to practical help, not just a mere emotion. Therefore, it says, full of mercy and good fruit. It is resulting in something. It is resulting in actions. It is resulting in a visible outpouring of activity. That's the fifth characteristic. Sixth one is unwavering, it says, and or impartial. So true wisdom or heavenly wisdom is unwavering. What is unwavering? It's straightforward, without variance, single-minded, not being divisive, acting consistently, not taking one position in one circumstance and another position in another circumstance. It's opposite. That word unwavering is opposite of duplicity. So as we think of heavenly wisdom, godly wisdom, it is unwavering. It's the same. It doesn't switch positions. It doesn't flip-flop. And lastly, heavenly wisdom, as you see in verse 17, is described as being without hypocrisy, or in other translations, sincere. What is that? I'm sure we all have an understanding of what it is, but another comment I read in a commentary was that it's being described as being free from posing or attempting to make a good impression. It is literally without play acting. It's sincere, not working under any sort of a mask. That is what true heavenly and godly wisdom looks like. So here in verse 17, as we look, James describes to us these seven characteristics of what heavenly or godly wisdom looks like. As we read them, the question ought to be, do I possess these characteristics? Can you see those in your life? And if you don't, remember chapter 1. James, the same writer in chapter 1, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So as you see yourself perhaps falter in some of these, we have that wonderful promise in chapter 1, verse 5. Ask and he will give to you. Because the truth of the matter is, each and every one of you falter at least in one or maybe all of these characteristics of wisdom that we just read. So those were the characteristics. And what's the fruit, or what is the result as a Christian individual has all of those? Well, the result or the fruit is given to us in verse 18, or the last verse of that passage we read. It says in verse 18, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. In other words, meaning the peacemakers, those with the Holy Spirit, the Christians, the true Christians, sow in the field of life with peace the seed whose fruit is righteousness. We're not going to talk about, because we don't have time today, with respect to what is that seed? Is it the Word of God? Or is it the godly wisdom? It could be both. But again, what I want to highlight for us in that very final word is that the fact that the peacemakers sow in the field with peace. They have peace as they do that. Are we peacemakers? Remember Matthew 5:9, where Christ himself says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." As we wrap up this passage, and now that we looked at these five sections that James talked about, he stimulated our mind by asking us the question of wisdom. He told us to reflect on our actions. He told us to reflect on our hearts or our intents. He also described to us what worldly wisdom looks like and what heavenly wisdom looks like. And as we reflect on our own lives, whether we have characteristics of the heavenly wisdom present in our lives or the earthly wisdom present in our life, I want to leave us with two passages to think about. Number one is that fifth verse in James chapter 1 that says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, because heavenly and true wisdom comes from him, and he's gracious to give it to us and to grant it to us as we ask him." And second, I am reminded of Apostle Paul when he wrote to Ephesians, a church in Ephesians, and as he was praying to them, in his prayer, Paul was saying that, "I, Paul, pray that the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him." And that is my prayer for you today as well. Amen.